Yes, we are feeling real good this TR Tuesdays. Hi and welcome back. I am your host, TR, your favorite scholar. And thank you so much for coming back to listen to another episode of TR Tuesdays. Last week, I did my I Am Successful Affirmations because I wanted to extend the conversation just if not only for a week longer about the interpersonal dialogue I had with Miss Promise on episode 3 called Interpersonal Relationships with Miss Promise. And if you haven't listened to that, I strongly encourage you to check that out. It was one of my best podcasts, if I do say so myself. I really enjoyed that conversation. Thank you so much, Promise, for coming on the show and sharing your truth. I know the listeners really appreciated and valued you because I got an abundance of feedback like never before. I normally only get like one or two comments, if I can just be honest, per episode. But no, not about the interpersonal relationships conversation we had, Promise. I got so much feedback and I can't wait to share with you all today. We're actually going to just kind of like dive right into that in a sec. Today, we're going to have our second guest of the season. Her name is Gigi. If you follow me on Instagram, that's at Tiara L. Christopher, TIARALCHRISTOPHER. Then you are aware that I have posted Gigi telling you all about her and how she's a nail blogger. But if you don't, that's okay. Gigi will be on here just a little bit later and she can tell you more about what she does and where to find her. Today, Gigi and I will be extending the conversation on the mother and daughter dynamic, which was actually one of the aspects of Promise and I's conversation in the Interpersonal Relationship podcast, which I did a couple weeks back. On that episode, Promise and I talked about a variety of different issues, such as the mother and daughter dynamic, dating somebody in jail, supporting your friends who are starting new business ventures, and of course, families sweeping their issues under the rug. From that, I got an abundance of feedback, which we will explore today, but it led me to want to extend the conversation on parenting and the mother and daughter dynamic because I think it's just so essential. And because it received so much feedback, let's keep talking about it. I love it. Okay, so our first response from the interpersonal relationship conversation that Promise and I had was that a listener, she felt very inspired to do what you did, Promise, with your mother. Like she says that she has a very troubling relationship with her mother. It's very dysfunctional. And of course, I was very intrigued. So we had a back and forth conversation. And actually, just a little bit of a disclosure, all my listeners today did not want their names to be disclosed. And I respect all their privacy. So we're just going to call them, you know, listener one or listener two and so forth. But listener one, she felt that what Promise did with her mom was really commendable because, you know, she used Christmas, the holidays, to just kind of put everything on the table. And she's like, I'm going to try that with my mom. And if that don't work, then fuck it. So I really like that because Promise, you're inspiring people. And you just, you know, came on one episode. So I really appreciate that. My listeners appreciate you as well. And you're helping them. Another response, listener two, from something you said, Promise, was that she thought your theory of prison creating narcissism was a little bit misconstrued or it was a little bit false. In this listener's experience, she dated a man in jail for 2 years who was the father of her baby. And he went in while she was pregnant. And of course, when he came out, this baby was 2 years old. So she talked a great deal about dating somebody in prison. And she actually felt that prison creates survivors due to the environmental circumstances that they are under in prison. And she says that this makes them become very defensive, non-narcissistic. And so I really like this response because it kind of relates to the survival of the fittest response. But I do think, you know, while I have no actual history of dating somebody in prison or being with somebody in prison, I have done a lot of academic research for papers in my school years on the prison system and the judicial system as well, and just like the overall laws and kind of how we deal with prisoners and inmates. And I can say that I do think it may be a little bit of both. It may be a little bit of survival of the fittest, and it may be a little bit of narcissism, because like Promise said, prison gives you a lot of time to think about yourselves and be, you know, with yourself, excluded and isolated, you know? So I definitely can see the narcissism, of course, perspective. However, I can see how it can make you very defensive and instill some survival instincts in you as well, because you constantly have to be on guard or on your toes, given the violence. So I really like that response. Thank you so much, listener, for sharing. Another listener feels that jail makes them become permanently institutionalized. So I was like, okay, I really like this theory, obviously, because I talked about that on the Interpersonal Relationships podcast. And I do feel that, of course, it makes them, I don't know about permanently institutionalized, because I'm a strong believer in therapy. And I think that therapy can dissolve a lot of issues that we think are permanent. You know, really, they're just misplaced and displaced anger, honestly, a lot of the time. However, I do feel that prisoners come out of prison and they still are not in tune with the reality of life, because so much has changed, you know, as me and Promise discussed on that episode. So these are some really good comments, guys. I really like that. Okay, so we also talked about how supporting your friends and new business ventures. And so I had listener three respond that she agrees that, you know, you need different friends for different things, that, you know, one friend can't be everything to you. You know, that's why we may have like a friend that we go clubbing with, you know, or we may have a friend that we do play dates with. And then we may have a friend that we do like kind of like a book club where we talk about books or worldly issues or something like that. So I totally agree. And I like that because I consider myself to be a very diverse and cultured person. I have a vast variety of friends of all races, of all diversities, just of all, like comes from all walks of life, pretty much. Like they couldn't be more different. I have friends that listen to rock, you know, and friends that are like, girl, we is not listening to rock. You know, we planned a baby, like the fuck. So I really do agree that different friends for different things. However, you know, me and Promise were kind of talking about like the whole purpose of a best friend. And I do feel that as your best friend, they should have a lot of those friends in one, basically, because that's why they're your best friend, right? I don't know. Comment on Instagram if you think I'm wrong. All you have to do is type in TRL Christopher on Instagram in your search bar. And also, just a little bit quick sidebar, I am pleased to say I received another comment on Apple Podcasts. So thank you so much for listening to me and commenting. And I did misquote myself. Actually, on Apple Podcasts, it's just TR Christopher, not TRL Christopher like on Instagram. So all you have to do to comment on Apple Podcasts is type in my name, Tiara, T-I-A-R-A, Christopher, C-H-R-I-S-T-O-P-H-E-R, and comment on any episode you like. Tell me anything you like to hear. I really like any comments on there, so I really appreciate that. All right, moving forward with our responses. I like this whole, like I said, going back to this friendship aspect, the listener talking about different friends for different things. You know, I feel like friends are like toilet paper. It's good to keep a couple extra under the sink. So, you know, like I said, that best friend should make up an abundance of your friends in one, you know, if that makes sense. All right. I had another listener who was actually inspired to create her own podcast from listening to me. So this really warmed my heart because I'm like, oh, you know, I'm so new. There are so many things that I could do better, of course, but through our imperfections, people find themselves, you know, and that really makes me feel good because I know that I am a motivation and an inspiration to others in many ways, but I just didn't think like I'd inspire somebody to start their own podcast. So I really appreciate that. And I just want you to know, like, you don't have to be great to get started, but you have to get started to be great. And Les Brown said that. Y'all know I love me some Les Brown. Because a lot of times when we're starting a new business, we're so focused on what we don't have and what we need and what we could do better. When honestly, you just kind of have to just put yourself out there. Like, it's like jumping in a pool. Like, you know, how are you going to learn how to swim if you don't jump in the pool? You know, you're never going to know if you keep dipping your feet in there. You just got to kind of jump in head first and just sink or swim. So I really like that. I'm so happy you decided to start your own podcast. Let me know, listener, when you're ready, and I will definitely advertise your podcast on here for my listeners so they can check you out, because I'm all about supporting one another. And if you'd like to even collaborate, you know, I'm open. Okay. So just exploring some more feedback. I actually still am getting feedback from episode one, in which I talked about should a woman be expected to work while pregnant? And in 2021, should a woman even have to work? Or should her man be able to hold down all the financial responsibilities with his job? And that the woman, if she does work, she shouldn't have to feel obligated. It should just be kind of like extra income versus needed income, right? So I'm willing to express your feedback and your comments at any time. Let me know. It's never too late to comment on any one of these episodes and let me know what you think. As soon as you comment on it and tell me, I will implement it in the very next episode. So I love it. I can't get enough feedback and comments. Anyways, this listener said in response to that topic, and I quote, a woman should work full time or part time so she at least feels productive. Women are smart and should earn as much money as they can for the family to make things easier. So I agree that working does make you feel more productive. However, I strongly believe that we women make our household better without working, that actually running a household is a full-time job itself. And so we do more for our household and for our partners than they could ever even imagine. So women were like the superheroes to the household, especially if there are children present. I keep telling my best friend, I'm going to get her a Superwoman t-shirt because she's just like amazing. I don't know how she does it. Like that one movie, I've never seen it, but I like the title of the movie. I don't know how she does it because I don't know how she does it. So, you know, the same listener feels that if the woman is pregnant or has children in the house, that she should stay home to take care of them. But when our man comes home, she should be ready to be loved. I thought that was funny. And I had some mixed feelings about that response because I do believe in nannies, especially for working women, especially the innovator that I am. Working on this book is a full-time job. My editor has me on like a crazy deadline. He wants me to produce what I've produced in a year and a couple months. And I'm just looking at him like, what? You know, but sometimes we have to believe in other people's belief in us to move forward. But anyways, back to this comment. I believe that men coming home from work and waiting for his woman in lingerie, I do think that's nice. I used to do that for my man all the time when the relationship was in the honeymoon stage and it was hot and fresh. He'd come home from work and I'd be like in a negligee or an outfit, or my man's favorite movie is Top Gun. So I once ordered a Top Gun outfit from Amazon, and then I got all his favorite candy and snacks and I made his favorite dinner, and then I bought Top Gun and put it on. And when he came home from work, I was like, you know, dressed up in my little Amazon Top Gun lingerie, and yes, he loved it. So I do like that. However, it's not a woman's job to just be like waiting to just be fucked by her man. You know, I feel like men kind of put sex on a really high pedestal, and there's just so many other things to the relationship, especially as it progresses. Sex kind of just honestly becomes displaced by other things, especially if there's children involved. Children take up a lot of time. Okay, so moving forward, I did receive more than my typical one or two comments. So if I forgot to include your thoughts or your feedback, I do apologize. But just DM me again. I'm human and I forget. And like I said, I'll include it in the next segment. So I want to express my sincerest gratitude for all the feedback that I received, because it was just really helpful for me to extend this conversation, to make this conversation good for you guys. It just creates like a back and forth. It's like the radio. It's like you call in on the radio and they're talking about, you know, some sort of issue. It just makes it, you're like, ooh, what does this person think about, you know, Cardi B getting her ass done? Or, well, you know, what does this person think about Ken the Man, you know, being like the next Megan the Stallion? So it's just really good to hear different people's perspectives. It's good for me. It's good for my listeners. And we just kind of like all learn from each other. And I really like that. And anyways, like I said, I continue to thank you for my feedback. So we are going to take another break because, whew, that was a lot of tea. I'm pooped. So we will be back with TR Tuesdays right after this. I don't even think I have a heart. Tin man, BET, after dark. Yes, emoji like a partner. He was feeling on his pussy, so I threw that shit in park. I'll go cry inside a limo truck and fuck him in no two-door. Bring your man a bitch and he gon' ask you find him two more. I can teach you game for what these bitches go to school for. See me with the same hoes, I don't really fuck with new hoes. No, tell that nigga, hurry, drop that bag on me. I like when he's spending all this cash on me. Crippin' cause I like them Chanel tags on me. If you wanna date, then spend that stash on me. Tell that nigga, hurry, drop that bag on me. I just got a crush to hold this magazine. Pussy good and make him wanna spaz on me. Yes, pussy real good, make him wanna spaz on me, okay? If you don't know who that artist is, do check her out. That is Bia. I love her. And that song is called Automatic. And it is available on Apple Music. So make sure you download that. I love it. It gets me so hyped. Like, all right. I wanted to just kind of like make sure you guys were still in there with me on TR Tuesdays. All right, guys. So we are just going to move right along forward. So, of course, on TR Tuesdays, I have to do my Today in History. We're going to do Today in Black History. Today in Black History, that is August 3rd, 1897, African American inventor Lloyd Ray invented the dustpan. Before that, people swept their trash out their front doors or onto a piece of paper. Man, wouldn't have been so great to be alive in the late 1800s or the 1900s when just everything was up for invention and you could just become successful by creating something as simple as the dustpan. And like it went over a lot of people's head, as you see people were using, or as I just told you rather, people were using pieces of paper or just sweeping all the trash outside. And then here comes Lloyd Ray and his innovation. And he's like, I'm going to think of something better. So he takes a wood and glues it to a piece of metal that which he cut, you know, into like a square. He glued the little square metal piece to the piece of wood. And he's like, I'm going to just sweep my trash in this. And that became the dustpan. Like, it just goes to show how basic ideas can become $1 million ideas. So don't ever give up on yourself, on your dreams, on your ideas, because no dreams are too small. Don't ever let anybody tell you that, oh, that app is dumb, or oh, you can't start your own business. You can do whatever you set your mind to. You have to be focused. You have to be very conscious of who you surround yourself with. You know, Les Brown said that we are within $2,000 to $3,000 of our closest friends. So how much money are your friends making? Are they making a good amount of money? Because that's going to reflect on you and your potential. Friends encourage each other. They make each other progress. Partners, same thing. They make each other progress. So make sure you are around affirming relationships. All right, we're going to take another break. And then when I come back, I will have our second guest of this season, Gigi, the nail blogger. I can't wait for you guys to hear our conversation on parenting and the extension on the mother and daughter dynamic after this.
Time. I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school. I'm scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Shed tears with my different daddies. The same drama when things go wrong. We blame mama. I reminisce on the...
Hi, Gigi, and welcome to Tiara Tuesdays. I'm so happy to have you on the show.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
And audience, we just want to apologize for the echo. We just moved into an empty house, so excuse us. But we're just going to proceed on. Okay, so today, Gigi, we are extending the conversation on the mother and daughter dynamic, as well as talking about parenting, based on the episode we did before last with Promise on the interpersonal relationships. So I'd like to start our conversation off by talking a little bit about your parenting and how many kids you have and such.
Fantastic.
Okay, so how many kids do you have, first off?
I have two daughters, two grown women now.
Okay, how old were you when you had them both, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, not at all. I had my oldest daughter when I was 16, and I had my youngest daughter when I was 23.
Okay, so you were a young mom.
Absolutely. Very, very young.
So do you think being a young mother impacts the way in which you parent?
Absolutely. There's no way that it can't, because you haven't experienced life yourself yet. How can you pass your knowledge to your child when you have nothing?
Is it like a struggle to like learn, or is it kind of just a struggle to like give up your like teenhood or childhood and be a mom now, or what? Like, what's the conflict exactly?
All of that is hard. When I got pregnant, I was 15, and I stopped going to high school. I was in 10th grade, and so I missed all of that: prom, homecoming, graduation. All of that was gone. And instead of having those experiences, I got to get yelled at by the people that were shopping at the store I worked at. So that's a big trade-off. And then you're tired when you get home and you're 16 and you have a baby, and it's really...
You don't have the energy.
You don't, it's not even the energy, because when you're 16, you have all the energy in the world, but you just... There's no you time, and you've never really experienced what it is to have you time, because all you've ever experienced is childhood. And now you're pressed into adulthood, full-time job, baby at home, never took care of yourself on your own. Now you're taking care of two of you. So you have no experience to fall back on, and you're trying to do the hardest job any human being can do with nothing, with no basis. And I did have my parents for a while, but then, not getting too much into my mom drama, she ended up kicking me out of the house with a one-year-old baby, and then it was really from out of the frying pan and into the fire.
Okay, so you can't just do this segue like, oh no, but she kicked me out. No, I have to know more. And I was actually just wanted to say, like, real quick, just a quick comment to what you were saying. So did you feel like you were like missing out?
I knew I was missing out.
Oh, you knew you were missing out.
All my friends are doing all these cool things and getting their first job at, you know, some little part-time thing where it doesn't matter. And if they call in sick, who cares? And I'm like, okay, if I call in sick, you know, there's...
And consequences.
Who's buying the diapers, right? Who's paying the rent?
And then it also sounds like you were a single mother.
Absolutely. Okay. My baby's father was not in the picture. And he didn't even find out I was pregnant until I was really far along. And...
What, did you not tell him, or were you hiding it?
He dipped out. He did.
Oh, okay.
He just, like, we had a little 2-week excursion, and the next thing I knew, he was nowhere to be found. And then the next thing I knew, I was carrying a baby. So when he showed back up, he just came to my door like, you know, that's okay, you just saw me yesterday. And then he's like, well, I'll come back and, you know, I'll bring money and blah, blah, blah. I don't want you to bring me anything. So he was never involved in her life. He only came back one more time when my daughter was 6 or 7 months old, I want to say. And he asked me, what are you doing? He rolled up on me in a car with his friend. Like, he's in the driver's seat trying to roll up and talk to me. I was like, you couldn't drive over here yourself? Please get away from me, you scrub. Okay? And so he asked me, what are you doing? I'm like, washing my baby's clothes. And I just kept walking, and I never saw him again since then, ever.
Really?
Yeah.
To this day?
Never seen him.
You never wonder about him? Like, did you look him up on Instagram?
I've seen pictures of him, and my oldest daughter, his daughter, they have met, and she knows his family. I mean, other things have occurred since then, but as far as he and I ever inhabiting the same space on Earth, that has never happened.
You're like, never. Is it because you didn't feel supported, or...?
I was scared of him. Not because he would hurt me, but I went through all this crap. I've got this tiny baby now. And it's hard, but she's mine. And you and your family are not rolling up in here and causing drama in my life. This is my child. I will destroy you.
Okay, so you're protecting your baby.
I'm protecting myself, honestly.
Oh, you're protecting
I'm protecting myself. I don't want to lose my child. I am very motivated by self-preservation. I will admit that 100%. I don't, like when Jake runs to the street, I'm like, you better get your butt back here because I don't want to have a bad memory.
Jake's her dog.
Jake's my dog, yeah, Jake's my dog. So, and that's like, I don't want anything bad to happen to anybody else, but as a consequence of that happening to you, it's happening to me.
Yeah.
And I don't want that. So, no, I'm very motivated by self-preservation.
Okay, so it sounds a little bit like some protection issues, though, honestly.
Oh, yeah, from my childhood and stuff, there was no protection from my parents.
Okay, so you felt like a need to really, ooh, this is...
Not only protect myself, but protect my child. As I protect myself, that envelops my children, so...
So this, you said your parents didn't protect you, so does having bad parenting... So having bad parenting, does that help you to be a better parent then?
It can go either way. I think that's situational per person. Because honestly, the way that you react to any situation, whether you're a child or an adult, is a choice. And maybe like when you're a child, and even as you're a young adult, you don't really get that it's a choice you're making. You feel an emotion, you react to that emotion, and you think that's the natural course of events. There's another step you can take, and most people just don't get that. And that's thinking about whether or not you want to react to that emotional response that you have. Emotions show up.
We are literally constantly ran by emotion. I am an overtly emotional person.
I'm extremely emotional.
And I try to not let them in my affirmations. I try to say, I am, you know, not letting my emotions control me.
That's the part. Don't let them control you. You cannot control them coming. But you can tell them to get lost. Psh, be gone. Psh, out.
Because it's so easy to just give in and to that feeling of...
Well, and it's addicting. Even people who are angry all the time, that's addicting. You set up a habit to knee-jerk anger every time you get angry. To every stimulus that comes your way. Things that should bring you pleasure are bringing you anger. Because that's just what you have triggered or trained your brain to trigger to.
I like that. Things that should give you pleasure is giving you anger.
Is giving you anger. I mean, and you've got to watch yourself for that kind of stuff. And that's on you. Like, there's no amount of therapy that stops that. You got to stop that. Right? Like your friend can tell you, your therapist can tell you, you can get cognitive behavioral therapy and get all the tricks and the tools, but if you don't put them to use and force yourself to change, nothing ever changes. So most people just don't get that. And it's not like, oh, well, I got angry this time. That means it doesn't work. It means that you haven't practiced enough.
Oh, yeah. No, we literally have to train our minds to be positive because we're just so negatively, naturally, you know?
I don't think humans are naturally negative. I think our society has geared us to that. But that's a whole other can of worms.
Let's do it next session. We look forward to having you back. Okay, no, let's get us a little bit on back. Okay, so I'm very intrigued. I'm sure my listeners are too. If I could just pry just a tad.
Please.
Why did your parents kick you out at 1 year's old?
It wasn't my parents. It was just...
I mean, not you at 1 year's old. I'm sorry. With the
my daughter. It was just my mom. My dad never... He never weighed one way or another? My mom ran the house.
Okay.
And that's how that was. My dad didn't really want to be bothered too much. I mean, it wasn't that he didn't... I have lots of great memories with my dad. Like, he taught me to tie my shoes. He taught me to ride a bike. He and I used to work on his car together. We watched John Wayne movies all the time. That dog is named after a John Wayne movie because of my dad.
So, Jake?
Yeah, he's named after a movie called Big Jake.
Oh, I never even heard of it.
But my mom is a force. She's a force to be reckoned with. And when she makes decisions, that's all there is to it. Was he even living with us then? I don't even know. Because they were divorced. They got divorced when I was 9. But it was like they would come back together and then...
And break.
Drift apart. Not break apart. Drift apart. Come back together, drift apart. Anytime my dad needed a place to land, my mom was always there for him. So, fine. But my mom didn't want me in the house because, long story short, she wanted to become a Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, okay.
She tried to get us to join Jehovah's Witness.
We were unwilling.
And I was like, Mom, I'll go with you to this meeting that you want to go to, but I'm telling you, I'm not going to join this. And we go, and I'm like, Mom, this is stupid. You've got to be kidding me right now. I'm sorry if you're a Jehovah's Witness. I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. It's just not for me.
Right.
Right? And I was 17. I was down with the, first of all, one of the rules is you can't smoke. My mom constantly trying to pretend she doesn't smoke while she's smoking. I'm like, okay, no, you don't even really align with this religion. You're not even doing it, but now you're mad at me because I'm not going to do it. And so one day she came home, and as I'm cleaning house, the house is spotless. I had the day off, so all I did was clean and play with the baby. And I'm in the kitchen with my hands in dishwater. She comes in, you never clean the house. I literally said, what, bitch? Got my hands right here, full of soap. What? And she goes, that's it, you're out of the house. And I'm all, that's fine, I pay half the rent. Good luck with that. And I left, and I went and moved in with my boyfriend.
Oh, okay, so you weren't like just homeless with the baby?
I wasn't homeless, but this was not part of the plan. I was not ready for this. This was not good for me or my daughter. And my mom was just being selfish. If I can't control you, you can't stay here. Well, good luck with that.
So, and I, you know, it's so crazy too, you say being selfish, because a lot of my friends tell me like, oh, you know, Tiara, when you become a mom, you're going to have to learn to be selfless. And I'm hoping that it's just kind of like a trait that comes, you know, once you have kids. Because I have been in foster care, and my relationship with my mom has caused me to be very selfish because I only know to, like, you know, help myself. Like, when you fall, you know, I've learned, like, girl, only you're going to pick yourself up.
That's not selfish. That's self-reliant.
You know? So I was just curious about that.
I think that you're going to be a fantastic mom. I don't think that you're going to struggle as much as you worry about. You'll figure it out. And you've got a lot of support. You got me and you got Shanna and you got your man. So there's a lot of people around you. And when you stumble and fall, and you're going to, your baby's still going to be okay. And you're going to make mistakes. You're going to have to just accept that. It's just the way it is. And as long as they're not horrible, you know, personality destroying traits for your child, or mistakes for your child, then that's all you can really hope for, right?
Okay, so, you know, just kind of sharing a little bit of personal, like personally self-disclosing. So earlier we were talking about protection. For me, I also feel that my mother was just unwilling to protect
all of her children. Like, there's three of us. I'm the middle child, definitely the black sheep for sure. And so for
I'm the black sheep there too. I got you.
So you get the black, the middle child syndrome, as psychologists say.
The middle and the oldest at the same time, because there's two
for mom and dad.
There's two sets of kids, and my mom has actually there's more than two sets of kids. Okay, my mom was married first to a man named Osby. His last name was Osby, and she had five kids with him, and then they split up. And she came back, then she met my dad, and then there were four more there. So I'm the oldest of the four, but I'm sixth overall.
Okay, so being the black sheep,
absolutely,
you feel like it's super hard, right?
Honestly, I never really felt like it was hard. I just honestly never gave a crap what anyone thought. And
you never felt excluded? I felt very excluded.
No.
Like,
honestly, they feel excluded because I have excluded them. I speak to my children and their children and a few of my sister's children, and that's it. The rest of the family, I don't talk to them. I don't really want anything to do with them. Mainly because two of my younger siblings are already dead. And then my youngest sister is just a ball of toxicity. And no matter how many times I've tried to give her a chance, she has just poured poison in my life every time. And the last time she reached out to me, I called her, I tried to have a conversation with her. Within 5 minutes, she started talking some nonsense that I knew was a lie. I'm like, girl, you forget I was there. I know what you're saying is a lie. Maybe this wasn't a good idea, she said, and hung up the phone. She blocked me on all of the social medias and won't talk to me again. I'm like, I knew that was coming, because I'm not going to play her delusional, I'm always right and the rest of the family is a horrible piece of crap game that she plays. So I don't mess with her. And then the older kids, the only thing they want from the younger kids is to make us pay for their mom leaving them and having us. And I'm not
so doing that. So you're resentful then?
Oh, it's so bad. Like, they are horrible to us, and they have always been horrible to us. And it's all in an effort to make my mom pay for what she did to them, which is abandon them.
Okay, so is your mom, she just doesn't realize it, or, you know,
mom lives, well, she's gone now. My mom's been gone a while now, but she just didn't, her ego was so fragile, she could not accept any mistake.
Oh, I'm sorry for your loss.
But that's okay. I have processed that. Thank you.
Yes, no, death is very hard.
Both my parents are gone, and two of my siblings, and it's just like when you hear these things, when you find out the news, it's like a little punch, right? And you're just like, oh, how do I absorb this?
And that's why, you know, I constantly have tried with my mom, you know, because I'm like, oh, you know, you only get one mom. Like, they could die. I don't have a dad. He's a sperm donor. I couldn't tell you if he's dead or alive. So my mom, I've tried with her so many times over the years, because I'm like, if she died today, I would feel sad. But at the same time, I feel like I've, you know, tried really hard. And my mom is also losing, like, a delusional state, as if
delusional state
things have never occurred. And me and my siblings, if we have the same account, and then because I'm writing an autobiography, I told you. And, you know, her friends I've interviewed for this book, they have the same account. Then who's really delusional, you know?
That part.
So,
exactly.
And then just going back to our protection, you know, I just feel like my mom was always unwilling to protect any of her children, you know. And my grandmother actually, like, well, what did you do to her? Because this has to come down from somewhere. And my grandmother swears like she was this picture-perfect parent. But something occurred, you know. I feel like people aren't, like you said,
people
aren't just born evil, right?
I don't think that they are, but I think some people, like, their personalities, there's a range of what you can be. And I think some people just naturally are a little more self-centered than others. And so you know, maybe their soul is young still or something. I mean, I don't know. I don't pretend.
My mom
know.
Was also a young mother, which is why I started the conversation like that. Because I wanted some insight. She had my sister at 17, did not graduate high school. My grandmother didn't let her go to prom or, you know, I don't know the story on that one, you know. And all that stuff significantly impacted her. She had me at 23 and all of us by different fathers, and none of them, you know, became a husband.
Right. It's everyone's a little different, and maybe what a parent thinks is a picture perfect parent and what a child thinks is a picture perfect parent are not the same things. And what one child needs, another doesn't. And what another needs, the other
doesn't. My friend says that all the time about her kids.
So you have to parent the child you have, not out of some book or out of some level of expectation that you have conjured up. Because your child is who they are. From the moment they're born, they've got this little nugget of, this is me. And your job is not to squash that nugget more than anything else. Is to nurture that nugget and help them be who they are. Not fit some mold that you have. So maybe her idea of parenting was just not the thing that your mother needed. And it's not that anybody did a bad job per se. It's just more like maybe you just weren't aware that something, you were missing a mark somewhere, that you were not quite living up to what this child could be.
Really? I can't accept that. I can't accept that my mother was just oblivious, because she was not only did she not.
No, not you. Oh. Your grandmother.
Oh, okay.
When she was raising your mother.
I see.
No, your mother, I'm sure, knew damn good and well what she was doing.
Either way, thank you for listening to Tiara Tuesdays, and we will be back right after this song. Okay, so we're back live on Tiara Tuesdays with Gigi and my newest godson, Liam. Say hi.
Hi.
He can't talk. Say, I'm only 7 months and I can't talk yet. T-T-U. We can't talk yet.
Not yet.
But that's okay. We can just close it out. I really had a great discussion with you so far,
so
Gigi.
Fun. So
I know.
Fun.
And I love how it just goes from one topic to the next naturally. And I'm sure my audience was so happy, you know, hearing somebody else other than me, you know, and just my opinion. But I was telling them earlier that you are a nail blogger. So please tell them more about that and where they can find you.
You can find me at YouTube. I am at Down for Glam, and that is Down, the number 4, Glam, Nails by Gigi. Sorry, I had to run up the stairs about a breath now. And then also, you can find me on Instagram at the same name, Down for Glam, Nails by Gigi.
Thank you so much, Gigi, for coming to Tiara Tuesday.
Thank you for
having
me.
It has been a pleasure.
I can't wait to come back. You ask me anytime.
Okay, definitely. We will see you next time. All right, I'm going to say goodbye to Gigi, guys, and let you guys take a break to this song. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that break. I hope you enjoyed our conversation that we had with Gigi. Gigi, again, thank you so much for coming on to this episode of TR Tuesday and sharing your valued wisdom, your great experiences, your personal revelations. I really appreciate it, and I know my audience does too. Okay, so we're going to close out TR Tuesdays with just a quick recap. So today we discussed feedback from our episode 3, Interpersonal Conversations with Miss Promise. We also discussed feedback from episode 1 and 2 from some other listeners, because it's never too late to send me your feedback here on TR Tuesdays. And then we discussed a really cool African-American invention known as the dustpan, which we all use today. I took us out of TR Tuesdays with a lovely discussion from our guest star of today's show, Gigi. Make sure you go follow her on Instagram as well. And Gigi and I discussed a myriad of issues, from raising children to being a young mother to parenting, from our own parents' experiences. You know, like, we saw what our parents did and we either chose to use that as our example or as our what not to do. Gigi and I talked about single motherhood, unsupportive parents, self-preservation versus selfishness, and how just the childhood impacts parenting as a whole. Emotional influences like anger, negativity, pleasure. We talked about negativity versus positive thinking, and how religion can also play a part of parenting, a large part for some people, actually. Just being the black sheep of your family, to just some psychological perspectives, delusional parents, losing a parent or parents. It was such a great discussion. I can't wait to have you again on another episode of TR Tuesday. So thank you so much, Gigi. Don't forget to please, please DM me and Instagram me at TRL Christopher. That's TIARALCHRISTOPHER. Or comment on Apple Podcasts. All you got to do is type in TR Christopher into the search bar. That's TIARA TRA Christopher CHRISTOPHER. And let me know what you think about today's show. It's never too late to tell me your opinion. Also, guys, new business alert. If you are in or near the Las Vegas area, Clark County, that is Henderson, North Las Vegas, Aliante, Pahrump, anywhere nearby, then I'm here to tell you that I have established a new business with my husband. We call it Problem Solved. Here at Problem Solved, we believe there are no problems that we can't solve. We are a handyman and electrical business. We specialize in flooring, ceiling fans, furniture assembly, TV mounting, installation, outdoor and playground setup. Anything that you will need a handyman for, we can do. So please find me on Yelp. All you have to do is type in Problem Solved on Yelp, and there are some pictures of my work. You can also find me on Facebook. Add me. My name is Tiara Blair on Facebook. That is T-I-A-R-A Blair, B-L-A-I-R. And you can also check out some of our work on there. You can also book appointments online. We are on squareup.com. All you have to do is type in Problem Solved on squareup.com. That's squareup.com. And just type in Problem Solved into the search bar, and you can book an appointment online from there if you like. You can also pay online. So if you know anybody that needs my services, that needs a handyman, my man is the best in the business. He's been an electrician for the past 15 years. He can do anything, and he literally is a problem solver. He has A, B, and C solutions for you. Like, he will not leave without solving your problem. So please hit me up. That's Problem Solved. Don't forget that I don't own any of the music used in this podcast, past podcasts, or in future podcasts. If you're not following me on Insta, then do yourself a favor and start now. You can also find me on Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Anchor, and pretty much anywhere you listen to your podcast. Of course, donations are always accepted. I have yet to receive one, but I'm very hopeful. All you have to do is type in anchor.fm/TR92 and click the support button. The best support is the physical support. So either physically support me by donating or please refer me to a friend or share. That is all the time I have for this Tuesday. I will see you next week. Quote of the day, refusing to settle for less is the mother of invention. Les Brown.
Angel. Skin makes me cry.